Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast.
Cheers.
Hey, I'm Kurt Ozon.
And our special guest, Mr. Owen Riegling. Thanks for being here, brother.
Thank you for having me. Dude, feels good to be back.
Yeah. As we were talking about before this, you'd been on the pod with Matt back in the early days when we were in the extra bedroom of the merch house above the recording studio in a neighborhood.
And below the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The airport.
And now we are behind the Tractor Supply. So cheers to that.
It's kind of awesome, man.
No, it's great.
Yeah. When was that? That was probably like 2024. Maybe?
Yeah, I bet.
24?
Yeah, that 2024 for sure, because we've been over here since 2025.
I don't know years or time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just floating. We're figuring it out as we go.
I just do what Master Tour tells me to do.
I feel
that. Gosh, I wish I had a Master Tour for my life. That'd
That's
be great.
The best.
But man, honestly, like since then, of course, like your world's been drastically different.
Yeah.
And then also, you are here in the United States pretty much full time now?
Yeah, full time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just, US. Yeah, we moved here January, so we're still kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
But we were here for 6 months last year as well.
Yeah.
Renting in a little space behind Carolyn Don Johnson's house. She has a nice
What a singer.
Yeah, yeah. She's amazing.
Such I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a wonderful human too. Like, she's,
agreed.
So nice. She would bake us loaves of sourdough bread and like leave it for us in our apartment.
What an angel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, how did y'all meet?
Well, we got connected through, I guess, just being Canadians. My A&R at Universal, Amanda, always would stay at her place when she came to Nashville, and she knew that we were looking for a spot to crash. I put the word out to Carolyn, and she had us for like 6 months at her place.
That's amazing.
Yeah, man. It was awesome. What a great way to like kind of integrate ourselves into town. But also, like, not have that much responsibility because we were just, like, we didn't have to take care of the grass or nothing, you know? We were just there.
Who's we, by the way?
Oh, my wife. Okay. My wife and I, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if the band was, like, moving.
Yeah, no, the whole band in the backyard. Yeah. No, we, my wife and our dog, we kind of came down. And, yeah, now we got a place here. So, starting to feel like home.
That's great.
Yeah.
And honestly, that it's a great way to do it, too, because then you can kind of, like, check out different areas and take your time figuring out where you want to live.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And we have so many guests that come down. And when we were in that apartment, like, even then, there was people coming, like, every weekend, friends, family, just nonstop rotation of people. And we got to know Nashville really well because they'd all look at us like, what should we do? And we're like, we don't even really know what to do, but let's go find some stuff to do. And Liv's got this whole like spreadsheet of like her Nashville checklist for people. And like people ask us, she just fires them that document. It's like, whatever you guys want to do, there it is.
I love a good A-type personality.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Funny enough, like I've gotten asked enough by friends that I've made that too. But I still get stumped every time. They're like, where should I stay at a hotel? I'm like, I haven't stayed in a hotel here in 7 years.
Yeah, I don't know what hotel. What do you tell people to do when you visit?
Go to Martin's and get the delicious barbecue.
Yep.
And I'm like, what kind of music do you want? Skinny Dennis or Midtown? Or if you have to go to Broadway, go to Robert's Western World and drink delicious 250 PBRs and Busch Lights.
Get the sandwich. My dad just did that last weekend when he was here.
Yeah, you got
to
do it.
My dad gets it when he goes too.
Yeah.
Bologna sandwich.
Yeah. You have to.
I say Station Inn. I think that's like one of the coolest spots in town. Like,
that's
just
true.
Go to any show there. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people too, I'm like, there's so much live music all the time, but on the weekends, there's a lot of like ticketed shows. So I'm like, check out bands in town.
Listening room is cool.
Yeah.
Raised
Rowdy.
Yeah, you got to check out Raised Rowdy. Yeah, that's a staple.
Well, that's the weekdays.
Just earn yourself another Surfside there, bud.
Yeah. I always say, I'm like, if you really want to experience Nashville the way that we experience it being here, I said, the best time to be here is Sunday through Thursday.
100%.
Yeah, because that's, like, realistically, those are your off days, if you have any off days. You know?
No, totally. But, and there's, I mean, Nashville is a happening spot. There's something to do every single night here, and it's like, now that we're here all the time, it's like, you know, pick our battles when we wanna go out and when we gotta stay.
Hey,
in,
we're
you know?
In town. You want to go to Broadway? No. Yeah. Y'all have fun.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll get brunch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's definitely it. It's and you know, I mean, being here for a few years, Kurt's been here literally forever, but
2012. I'm not that old.
It's kind of forever. But it's, you of course, go to Broadway less and less.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
When you're a tourist, or I'm sure when you were first visiting, you know, you probably did that.
Yeah, my first trip to Nashville was only to go to Broadway. Yeah. Like, I didn't, obviously I was doing music at the time and I wanted to go check it out, but we spent 4 days in Nashville, 4 full days on Broadway. And mm-hmm. then we drove home hungover. And like, that was my experience of Nashville. And it was,
that was like awesome. My first year in Nashville.
Yeah.
not just Broadway though. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And, after that, it was like, I got to get back down here. Just being here for the first time and like seeing how much music was everywhere. And it seemed like every building, there was something going on, you know, whether you're on Music Row and people are writing songs in there, or Broadway, every floor of the bar, there's live music. Like, I had not experienced anything like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get here and you see not just all of that, but all of the fantastic writers and all of the, you know, slightly more local, they're getting a little more touristy spots, you know?
Yeah, totally.
You get to go to, you know, like Bobby's Idol Hour and, you know.
Oh, yeah. My second trip to Nashville, I got, do you guys know Schmitty?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Schmitty's awesome. So my first real writing trip to Nashville, I got in the car with some buddies who were driving up and I had no rights booked. I just was going with them and I was going to like, I didn't realize like they booked stuff before they went. I thought like, you know, I just show up and like I just start writing songs or whatever. And they were talking about their calendar for the week or whatever. And I was like, damn, you already know what you're doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just here. And so I hit up Schmitty because I'd followed him on Instagram. I seen like his videos he was posting on YouTube and stuff. And I was like, hey man, come to Nashville. Like, do you want to write a song together? And he's like, sure man, come over this day. So I went there and we wrote. And then we wrote together like every day that week, basically. And he kind of like brought me into some rooms with some of his buddies. And that's when I really learned that like there is so many levels to songwriting. Cause I was writing with these guys who had been in town for a couple of years. And like just the way they were talking about writing songs was not something I was familiar with. I was just used to like writing in my bedroom by myself. And oftentimes I'd have like this feeling or something I wanted to talk about. And I'd start with word one, line one, and write until that sort of informed what the idea was, and I would land on a title and that became the song. And that's just how I knew how to write songs, kind of like the stream of consciousness, like we'll get there when we get there. And then I got into those rooms with those guys and they like, that was my first experience with the title thing. And then it's like the reverse engineer of the song, like we know where we're ending, now we just punch up every line and land on this overarching idea. And it like kind of just like blew my mind because I had not done that before, even though it probably sounds stupid to say now. And this is kind of what we do. But it's like that little thing just like changed the way I look at songs. And then after that trip, I was like, hey, I got to figure out titles. I got to think about titles. I got to do all this stuff because that's how they're doing it. So it was cool to just get thrown into it like that. And they probably looked at me like, damn, this guy is just why is he here right now? You know what I'm saying? That's how I felt anyways. But I really did learn so much from that first trip to Nashville.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's green at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you were writing songs before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But,
I think that's kind of how everyone is. Like, they have their way, and then they figure out that their way isn't the exact same way as everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my way or the highway.
No.
Yeah. I still go back to writing the way I started writing. I think that's where a lot of my ideas come from. Like, nowadays, I still write by myself as much as I can because I find that's where I'll find something, and I need the something to go into a room with other people who have different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just trying to write something by myself, I'll write to the wall, and there's oftentimes a wall will come and I'm like, I don't know where to go from here. And at least I have a half song or a half idea, something that's half baked, and I can go in there with those guys and they'll be able to see the thing and pull it out of me.
Is that like something you would bring to like John Singleton, for example?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I like to think of my music as like chapters, I guess, in my story, in my life, and where I'm at right now, always. So I like to come in with like an overarching idea of my direction, where I want to go, kind of the themes and concepts of this era of my career and my life. And then that helps to inform them because they got all kinds of titles and stuff as well that might lend itself to where I want to go. And then half the time I'll come in with a half song or something like that just to kind of help them, help me, help each other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And that way, too, it's like you almost feel like sometimes when you're writing with people, it's like they're trying to help explore your story. If 100%. You're coming in with all of that, it's going to be your story.
Yeah.
And you already have the framework of it built so that they can kind of help you polish it up and you know, express it in a way maybe you weren't thinking about. I love that.
That's the goal. And they're such good songwriters. It's insane how awesome they are at writing songs. It's like, it's not just like, what am I trying to say? They have like, it's almost like an equation. Like they're just like, they know what a song should do, you know? And mm-hmm. it's just crazy to be a part of it. And I've learned so much just being here the past 2 years, like writing. It's my first kind of experience last year writing every day, you know, going into town and like getting a room with new people. And I'm in that phase still where I'm writing with new people every day kind of thing, just trying to figure out who kind of gets me and who I gel with the most, and then kind of booking more writes with those people and finding like the people that I think I work best with.
Yeah.
So it's a fun process. It's like they call it speed dating, and it feels that way too, because you're just getting in rooms with random people and like talking about your emotions and like, yeah,
here's my trauma.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's a weird, scary thing, but it's I feel like through that process, it's helped me just be more open as well, and like able to kind of get my thought across a little clearer.
Yeah,
and probably help elevate the quality of songs.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
I always think that's an interesting thing too, because as you said, like not there's a process to songwriting, but not everyone writes the same way.
Oh yeah.
I imagine when you're in the room, you pick up little things, or oh, that's neat how they do that.
Yeah. 100%. Or maybe I don't like this.
Right.
Yeah. There's always that, and I say so many dumb lines, and it's scary at first because it's easy to just kind of get, you know, shy and like not want to speak up because you're in rooms with people who are proven like hit songwriters, and I'm just this dude that like doesn't know what he's doing. But you kind of realize through doing it every day that like, nobody knows what they're doing.
Totally. And if they did, you would for sure.
Right. We're writing, and it's like, we don't know what the product's going to be, but you kind of have to finish it to find out. And you have, and at the same time, it's not really up to you if it's a good song. Cause there's songs that like I've thought are going to be songs that are going to like do the thing, you know, mm-hmm. and then you put them out and then people are attached themselves to this song over here. And it's like, okay, well, I didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. And that's proof that like, it's not really up to anyone other than the people that are consuming the music. So just write it. If you love it, put it out and see what happens.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's a part too. It's like meaningful to you, of course. Like you never want to put out a song that you have to sing forever if you don't love it. So mm-hmm. it's like you want to make sure that it's a song that you're proud of. But the crowd, I mean, even freaking like TikTok will tell you what they want, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the live audience will 1000% tell you what they want.
100%. I still haven't figured out the TikTok thing yet. I don't know how to.
Seems like you're doing pretty good at it.
Yeah. I mean, I post on there. I don't know. I just post whatever kind of comes to me, and you know, that's all I can do, I guess. I've learned to love, the social media thing. At first I was a little hesitant not knowing what to do. And I think the thing that flipped for me was looking at social media the same way I look at songwriting, the same way I look at being in the studio making music, because I love those things. Like, I could do that all day, every day, because I love it. So trying to find things about social media that I actually love.
Yeah.
And it is a creative outlet if you treat it creatively and, you know, craft a video that was fun to make, and it was like, it gives me the same feeling as writing a song when I get a video that was fun to make. So just trying to find ways to do that. I think it comes across more authentic too. I've noticed like with the people that are following me, like the videos I put more time into and be creative with tend to have a better response.
Yeah.
So trying to do that more.
I love that.
It's still hard, and it's easy to get tired of that, because it's like you post a video, great. Now you have to post another one. You know, it's like it never ends. It's like a constant thing of post and then back to the drawing board of like, what's next? How are we gonna get this music to people, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest key, is like, how do you get the audience to like not just love the music, but really like fall in love with you as an artist, and then want to go along that journey as you get to release things like the new record that you just got to release, right?
Yeah.
And then how do you get them to feel so attached to you and your songs that they want to come and spend the money on a ticket,
or,
you know, even if it's like you're in an opening slot and you have to like talk them into coming to make sure they're in for your set. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. It's like easy to get wrapped up in it a little bit, because at the end of the day, you don't really get to make the decision. I think the easiest thing to do is just be yourself at all times and like if people like that, then that's an easy thing to be. If I think if I was trying to be somebody else, that would probably not be as easy and way less fun, you know? Yeah. It feels like freeing to just be totally myself, and, you know, hopefully that allows me to have a career in music, but we'll find out.
It absolutely will.
Yeah, totally, bro. And your shit's great, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Very good. And I know we talked about, like, even some on your earlier stuff, some music. Every time that Kurt and I are together and we have a few beers and we're karaokeing, we're always karaokeing a little bit of Weezer.
Hell yeah. I love it.
You hear a little bit of the elements of that in some of your music. And I remember, like, when I was listening to the new record, congrats, by the way, on that.
Thank you.
We'll dig into that. I was like, is there going to be some of that, like, rock-leaning stuff a little bit? And you sprinkle that in there as well. Why don't you talk about a little bit, before we get into the actual record, about the stuff that you kind of grew up listening to?
Yeah, so I kind of had, like, a limited, limited music to listen to. I had these CDs, and that was my early days, was all these random CDs that I didn't buy. They were just at our house. I guess my parents or whatever had them. And had this Walkman CD player, and I had the Blue Album by Weezer.
So,
My Name is Jonas was, like, one of my favorite songs growing up. I had an Avril Lavigne CD.
Also great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Complicated Slaps. I've been listening to that again recently. I had a Green Day CD. I had an Eminem CD. I had the Steve Miller Band Greatest Hit CD. And those were some of my favorites, and I would just listen to those on repeat for years. And then I kind of discovered Eric Church, and that kind of, I mean, I always listened to country music as well with my grandpa and stuff, but country never, I just didn't have the country CDs, so that's not what I was listening to. I was into that other stuff, and then I discovered Eric Church, and that's kind of what sent me down the path of you know, songwriting in the country format. But I think I always pull from the music that I am gravitating towards because that's what I was listening to at a young age. So, like, Weezer, like you said, a song on the new record, Same Blood, has that energy.
Yeah.
In My Head Again on the first EP was kind of like that. And I think that's what's cool about country music right now is, like, you're allowed to pull from influences of all kind and bring them into your sound. And as long as it's honest music and... I think my voice kind of leans more country than it can be a country album, you know? And I think that's super cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, as we talk about that, you have songs that are sound like we were talking, like Kurt was saying, sound like they should be on country radio also.
You
know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's a cool mix. And, the opening of the new record, hearing the, like, Springsteen-y, like, intro and kind of, I think that's a really cool way to open the record. I assumed that was, you put that on out there on purpose. Why don't we talk about
100%. So on the physicals, there's an extended intro on top of Phone Call from Home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have heard that yet, but it's, there's a bunch of different things. And on the physicals, there's two interludes as well that kind of play between the songs, but it's only on, like, the vinyl and the CDs. And just that intro that's on the physical was like, I'm like, this is the opening of the album. I can hear how this sounds like the creation of this album. But it's this extended kind of guitar thing. And you hear us talking in the studio, and Phone Call from Home, you know, the first line, I'm just kind of plopped in New Jersey. And I remember vividly being on the boardwalk in New Jersey in front of the Stone Pony.
Great club.
We played the summer stage 3 times, over the past couple of years. And I love that venue. There's something about knowing that Springsteen kind of cut his teeth in that venue, and the energy at those shows was so good. But for Phone Call from Home specifically, I was, like, so burnt out, sitting on the boardwalk drinking coffee, like, seagulls are flying in the air, the ocean's right there. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I'm just a guy from Mildmay, Ontario, and now I'm sitting here on this boardwalk about to go play a show at this venue where Bruce Springsteen played, and I have no idea how I got here, and I was just feeling this feeling, and I called my mom and let her know where I was at and everything, and she was filling me in on everything back home, and that's sort of where that idea emerged from. Just knowing that we're a phone call away from each other now is kind of like the closest we've been in a while. And I thought it was a great way to start the record because, you know, it's so foreign from everything I've known, and I feel like this record is a foreign place to be. It's like the cover art's me in the desert. I've been all over the country. I've seen so many places I never thought I'd get to see. I've been on, you know, 100 airplanes last year. Like, I never thought I'd get to do that, you know, and just trying to figure myself out through all the chaos. And I'd lived such a slow, simple life for most of my life, and now I'm living like the most chaotic, crazy life ever. So In the Feeling is me trying to navigate that and figure out where I fit into that equation. So Phone Call is just like, transplant this Bruce County kid to the big city of New Jersey, and now he's got to figure it out. And it kind of takes you through that, through the whole record. I think we kind of strategically place the songs so it gives you this like ebb and flow of what it feels like to be on the road, and kind of take you through my experience with that.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the songs, and historically the songs that you've put out, feel country. It's about life, it's about love, you know.
Yeah.
And you can hear in the songs that I assume are about your wife, like how much you care about her.
Yeah, yeah. And lives with us like 95% of the time. So we get to experience all the chaos together. And I think she keeps me grounded through all of it, because, like, you know, the shows are loud. There's a lot of work involved. What people don't see is like 95% of our experience on the road is not on stage. It's like in the van with 10 dudes and a bunch of cases. And we're all just like very, very sleep deprived and,
farting in a small van.
Yes. Farting in a small van, eating, you know, garbage, whatever we can eat.
Yeah.
And you build a lot of character in those moments, but Liv, you know, has been through all of that with us. And then at the end of the day, we get to the hotel and it's like, it feels like home, you know? So it's cool that she gets to be there and realize that it's not all fun. What you see on Instagram is the fun part. And then the rest is kind of like hard work. But yeah, it's super cool that she's there with us.
Yep. No, I think that's super cool. And I mean, honestly, you can hear that in the music. She's part of your story.
100%.
You know? Your music is your story.
100%.
It feels very authentic to who you are, and, you know, getting to meet you. You're the same person right now that you were 3 years ago when we met you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think that's the goal. I don't ever want to be a different person, and I want the music to reflect that too.
Yeah.
So I try to keep it as real as possible, and treat my music like chapters in my life. And that's kind of the goal. I want to look back in 20 years and listen to In the Feeling and remember, you know, the way that burnt hotel coffee tasted on the boardwalk in New Jersey, and like all the moments in between, like Bruce County. When I listen to that, I can picture myself writing those songs in my parents' garage and being so naive and not really realizing what was ahead of me. And, you know, I'm excited to see what the next record brings, because I know it's going to be an evolution to myself, and so on and so forth for the next however long this thing goes.
Love it.
Are you already kind of starting to get ideas together for the next one, or?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been writing. I think I got it figured out. And for a long time I did.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. For a long time after we cut this record, and I was sitting with the songs.
When was that?
We cut it back in May of last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and Oscar spent like 2 or 3 weeks in the studio consecutively, and
great guy.
Made the whole record. Oscar Charles, beauty of a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome getting to know him, and the way that he goes about production is really cool. I think it's a little different than most people in town. He's very like, mics are hot, let's play it and let's leave it, you know? Let's get it to a point where we feel good about the way we're gelling just in the room. And that's what became most of these songs, just us playing. And there's so many mistakes. I played a lot of the guitar on this record. And it's, you can hear the timing issues and the things, but it's like, that's when I show up to a place and I play a lot of guitar on stage, like that's what you're going to get. So that's what we left you with in the studio too.
Mm-hmm. So you guys aren't just like getting Brent Mason in to come and play on everything. It's sort of kind of like he's playing some stuff and you guys are patching it all together.
Yeah. Yeah. He played all the drums. Mm-hmm. So he's a great drummer.
Yeah.
And the way most of the songs started was him on drums in the control room and me on acoustic guitar and scratch vocal in the studio, just kind of looking at each other through the glass. And we would just run the song, and we'd run it 10 to 15 times. Sometimes it was only 3 or 4, but most times it was like we ran it like 10, 15. And we would feel like we're right there. Like that almost felt like the one, but let's do it again. And then we'd do that one. We're like, let's just do it one more time. And we just keep doing that. And most times, I mean, for Tale Like This Town, that vocal and that guitar was just the take from that moment. And because I was like, wired in on my guitar, it was fine. We could mix it a little better and stuff. But for some of those acoustic vocals, it was like, got the acoustic, got the guitar, let's come back in, cut the vocal, and kind of just bring everything in around that. So it was a cool way to do it. It was a new experience for me.
That's, I mean, that sounds fun too. Maybe like you can take your time and it's not like, all right, we've got 10 to 1 for this group of songs. You know, these guys are only here. It's like you guys are just chilling in the studio together.
That's exactly it. And that was intentional, because my first project was, I was totally just a noob. You know, I didn't know what was going on. And I got thrown into the studio and it blew my mind how amazing the musicians are. Like, we had some of the best musicians in Nashville play on that stuff. And like you said, they show up for 3 hours and they would do the thing in the first take. And it was like so good. And basically at the end of that session for 3 hours, it was like, that's the song. Like, we, there it is, you know, it's so good. But I felt like the music I'd made before that in my bedroom, I'd spent so much time with like a guitar part or like the way I wanted it to feel. And it sounded so good. But I think that EP, Bruce County, it didn't have as much of me in like the musical aspect as this one does. So I just wanted to see what would happen if we just kind of did it ourselves.
And you preferred it that way, I assume.
Yeah, I love both ways, mm-hmm. but I think there was something cool about doing it that way. Just because it feels raw. It feels kind of, it feels like me. It feels, yeah. I mean, all the mistakes in there.
It was like two kids figuring it out together.
Exactly. Sort of. Yeah, 100%.
I love that. Oscar's production style is very cool as well.
We had Kit Moore on, and he worked, you know, and so we've had a few Oscar production folks come in.
LV
Chase Rice.
Yeah, that's what I discovered Oscar through the Chase stuff that he had done. And I thought it was really cool that Chase was taking those risks as well, just going from the music he made before to like his new stuff that's very raw and just in the room. You can hear, you know, you can hear that it's just live, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I wanted to work with Oscar.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
Yeah, I want to work with Oscar now. Actually, I have worked on Oscar on one song. My girlfriend's a singer, Kayla Hammack. I don't know if you know her, but I played, she had written with Oscar, and so I played a dobro thing. I sent it to him for the demo. So there's my one Oscar.
There you go.
Was my one Oscar Charles thing.
Love that. Yeah. Love that. We're about to get back in the studio like next week.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, dude, I'm so excited.
How many songs y'all going to cut? Are you just kind of getting started on pre-production or what?
We're going to cut, I think,
three?
Three.
Management saying three.
So we're going to cut three. I don't know how much I want to say because this is for...
you can tell us. No, we got to talk about the current music, Kurt.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Well, sorry, I get excited. Production stuff I get really excited about.
Let's just say this stuff is going to be an evolution of In the Feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're cutting three songs and doing an acoustic version of one of the songs on the record.
See, it is about this record.
It is about this record. Yeah. Yeah. So right,
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to this record, like, what are some of the songs from this project that you've seen, first of all, like the fans engage with at live shows or that you're just wildly proud of?
Well, I was surprised by a song called Mailbox on the album. It felt like a song that would just fade off into obscurity. I wrote it by myself back in like 2022 in my parents' garage. I had tuned my guitar to Dadgad for the first time, and I'd never done that before. And I had no idea how to play it, but I just started like making stuff up, and I figured out this like thing that I really liked, and I wrote the song in like an hour, and it felt cool. And I had always remembered that song, and it made this record, and I thought it would be a song that nobody would listen to, but it's one of the songs that like I've done these live streams on Instagram and just asked people like, "What's up?" and "What's your favorite song?" And so many comments were "Mailbox, Mailbox, Mailbox, Mailbox." And it surprised me. And that's what I go back to. Like, you think this song's going to be the one that people are going to love. And then it's like the total opposite of that. And so that was kind of cool for me.
I love that.
When you are in your parents' garage and you write a song and you're really feeling it, do you go into the house and say, "Hey guys, check out the song I just wrote," and play it for them?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
Cool.
I mean, the biggest reason...
I did that with my wrist growing up, too, so I was just wondering.
The biggest reason I started writing in the garage was because I was, like, I'm a shy guy, and I was scared for my family to, like, hear me in my bedroom, like, singing. And I could go there, and, like, I could, at the top of my lungs, just let it all out and, you know, just make... You just totally be free out there. So I started writing songs out there, and it became a place that I felt comfortable to write songs. But yeah, I would go in the house if it was a song that I felt like was okay, I would show them. But so many bad songs that they've never heard, that nobody will ever hear.
Yeah, Paul McCartney says, like, you got to get the first 1,000 bad songs out to get to the good ones.
Yeah, one that I remember being really cool, I wrote a song called Bud Light the Way in my garage.
Hell yeah.
And
I'll drink to that.
Of course, drinking a Bud Light at the time. And I was like, damn, this song is made for a Bud Light commercial. And I was so excited that I just wrote this, and I went inside and I played it for my mom. I was like, this song will be in a Bud Light commercial. Like, listen to this. How could they not use this song? And then, like, a year later, it was in a Bud Light commercial.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah, they picked it up, and Bud Light loved the song, and they ended up doing a tour with me across Canada called the Buckle Up Tour. Put us on a tour bus, big Bud Light logo, and we went to all these towns and, like, got to play music, and they still use the song. Like, it's crazy. So that was a cool one, because I don't know, it was like full circle to actually have it happen, you know. Mm-hmm. I say a lot of crazy things.
You called your shot. You're like Babe Ruth.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Damn. I love that. Luke wrote a song called Moonshine that ended up being a moonshine jingle way back in the day.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome, man. It's really cool.
You know, it's funny. It's like when I first started getting into country music, and I was super late to the game. I remember Brad Paisley singing like Cold Bud Light in one of his songs. And I'm like, I wonder if, like, that he just leaves a spot open and then whoever, like, buys the rights to that song, or how does that work? I remember thinking of it in this way where it's like, you know, it's like, easy to write a song and put a, but it's not. It's hard. Writing songs is like the hardest thing in music you can do, I feel like. And so it's just like, if you happen to write a song because you were drinking a Bud Light at the time, then that's the only way to do it, really. You can't, like, force yourself to do something if you don't really feel it, I feel like.
I agree, man. That's 100%. Like, I mean, if I was drinking a Miller Lite at the time, I probably would have called the song Miller Lite the Way, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it just worked out the way it worked out, and I'm thankful for that.
But you were drinking a Bud Light because that's your favorite.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's so interesting, too, like, that product placement, you know, like you're talking about. Yeah. Like, Jack Daniels kicked my ass again last night.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't have Jack Daniels on payroll whenever he made that.
Fuck,
but he
probably
did after.
Probably had it in his bloodstream, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Much. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Eric used to do, like, the Jack Daniels VIP experience. Like, mm-hmm. I used to watch those videos on YouTube of people from the church choir.
Nick was in there.
I was in that church choir.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's sick. I was in the church choir too, but I never got picked to go to any of those experiences. But I was like, maybe one day it'll happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that probably just happened because he wrote the song and they're like, we got to jump on this. So it's cool how that happens.
Yeah. My first EMA Fest I went to just as a fan before I lived here, I was, of course, in the church choir, and I applied and got in. Just me. None of my friends could come. I didn't get a plus one or anything. And he played all unreleased songs at that point. And now, since, a couple of the songs have trickled out.
That's so cool.
Yeah, one of those pinch me experiences. And I'm, you know, I've been around enough people where I'm usually pretty good, you know, meeting people, especially in, like, a meet and greet setting. You're just saying hi.
Yeah.
You know, I had the things in my head that I was going to say to Eric Church, and it was, hey, how are you doing? I really like your music. Something like that.
Yeah.
I came up and my brain just shut off as soon as I, like, got in front of him. And yeah. I was just like, music, good. Your music, good. You know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, man. He's like, thanks, man. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure that's happened to him a lot.
Yeah. But I got to meet him somewhat recently. I think it was last year. Kelly got invited to go to, like, he did, like, the solo acoustic shows at his venue or whatever. And I met him and he was like, big dog, you know. I was like, okay, got a big dog from Eric Church. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I was at one of those acoustic shows, too, actually during CMA Fest, that one that he did at the he did, like, a residency there. That was crazy.
Great, wasn't it?
I think that was my favorite Eric show that I've been to.
I love it.
Just all the stories that I'd never heard, and, like, him on acoustic guitar, and then when the choir came in, it was, like, so nuts.
Were they, like, all around?
Yeah.
That's what they did for ours. It was sick.
Yeah, Liv started crying beside me. I was tearing up. I was like, holy crap, this is crazy. The power of music is insane.
It
agreed.
Is.
Yeah.
That's why we're all here in this room.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's one of the coolest parts about CMA Fest is that is a collection of people that love country music the most, all spending way too much on hotels and way too much on beers.
Yeah.
So I'll be there.
And
for,
then buying their pass to the festival, yeah, and like going to the stadium every night, but also like all day hitting all the side stages. And it's pretty cool, you know.
It is.
I mean, none of it's possible without those people doing that. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's great. Are you playing CMA Fest at all this year?
Yeah. 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 We're playing couldn't tell you
side
when.
Stage.
We're playing somewhere sometime.
I think we have a call from that. Do you know where it is?
Chevy Vibes.
Chevy Vibes.
Saturday, June 6th.
There you go.
Well, maybe we'll get Chevy to sponsor with Bud Light now.
A yeah, winning drinking and driving, a winning combination. Yeah.
My dog's name is Chevy, so.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh.
Tails all the time.
There you go.
No, it's super cool. And honestly, like, your music has been great since before you got here. But just to hear the evolution, like I talked about, like where you could like hear the rock leaning tone, and then of course like Old Dirt Roads, just country music straight down the center, gold.
Yeah.
And to hear this new record have a little bit of all of that,
mm-hmm,
you know, it sounds like you. But honestly, some of the production, I was like, before I saw it was Oscar, I was like, this is cool and different.
Mm-hmm. It feels different. It
yeah,
really does. I think for a long time I was scared of the fact that I pull from so many different influences and
yeah,
am inspired by so much music that I mean, I kind of base my music around the music I listen to and would want to listen to. So it's all up in the air, and it's like you got a little bit of the down the middle country, and then you got, you know, the rock stuff and some singer-songwriter-y, U2-y stuff and a little Bruce Springsteen sprinkled in there. And it's like, hopefully people like this. I like this. Like, and I think I've just come to the realization that, like, that's just the way that I make music. That's what feels good to me. And hopefully people are okay with that. And I don't think I'm going to change the way that that is. I think the next record is probably going to have a little bit of all that as well. And the one after that, same thing, just because that's what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
So hopefully people can get on that train and be okay with not knowing what's next, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep them guessing a little bit.
And you've had some cool moments pop up over the last time too. Talk about like award season in Canada and like the chaos of that. I know Kurt wanted to chat with you about
getting to do the Opry, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's a cool one. That was scary. I was freaking out all day.
I was scared shitless the first time I did it.
Yeah, man. I didn't think that I would get so nervous because I've kind of learned how to tame my nerves a little bit just from playing shows and having to do it so often. But it reminded me a little bit. I think it was like trauma of being a kid in school, like preparing like a class speech to like say in front of your say in front of your peers. And I was like having that like gut feeling, like I'm gonna throw up, my hands are sweating backstage. And I get up there for the first song, standing in the circle for the first time, like there's people, and I'm like, this is insane, I'm gonna freak out. Start singing the song, I get the first line out, and I can't think of the next line, and I just say, and it was the right line, and it happened every single line of the song until the song was over. And I was like, that was the scariest experience ever. I didn't remember my lyrics, but somehow I think just through playing it enough and like having enough muscle memory that I was able to pull it off. And then as soon as I got the first song out of the way, I was okay for the next one, and it kind of settled down a little bit. But it was a very scary experience, but one that I'm blessed to have had and very grateful for. So,
I mean, that's how my experience was the first time. Just like I said, scared shitless. What do you think makes playing the Opry so terrifying?
I think it's just the aura, you know. It's got this, like, obviously the legends have played it, everybody's played it, that's anybody, and to know that like this is your shot, you're here, and now you do the thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the weight of that and having such a just a legendary band behind you, and it's like, you know, I think I was afraid of messing it up a little bit, but yeah, I think the Opry's just, I mean, it's the peak. It's the thing that everybody dreams about playing.
Yeah.
It's my grandma, you know, has been talking about me getting to make my Opry debut for years, and like I got to do it. So it's just a cool one, man. It's legendary.
And it's also you're playing your songs, but everything is just slightly different.
Yeah.
Because it's not your monitor guy, and it's not your usual rig, and it's not your band. It's your songs, and they're great players. But everything's just a little different.
100%.
So it just makes your sphincter just a little bit tighter the whole time. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's how I felt, too. Because we got to do, like, a sound check on stage before.
Not a lot of people do get that. I guess for your debut, you do.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But if you're just popping up, sometimes you don't. You just get up there and rip.
Yeah. So, like, we kind of got up there, got our stuff plugged in. I didn't stand in the circle for the sound check. We moved the mic to the side. And it's kind of like, all right, drummer just starts counting us in. And it's like, okay, we're going. We're in. And now, I mean, they're amazing. It sounded great. Pedal steel on the tracks that we didn't have before. And
Tommy
I was like,
White.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. So good. But yeah, the mix was different than we're used to. We usually run like click and stuff in our ears, like no click. So it was kind of like, it was nice and it felt freeing a little bit, but also really scary. Yeah.
Yeah. And awesome. T-Hub got you, gave you the invite. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. He sent us a video. I was doing a showcase at Acme for CRS, and there was like four people that had played before me, and I got up there, and they did this like extra long kind of talk before I started, and I was like, this is weird. And then they're like, everybody, can you just watch the screen over here? I'm like, oh, and like, look at this. And I was like, okay. And Tyler Hubbard pops up on the screen. And at first I thought maybe he was going to ask me to go on tour with him, because he had done that before. I played a show with him a couple years ago, and he surprised me by asking me to go on tour with him. So I was like, here we go again, you know?
So you guys are kind of boys now.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, we've toured Canada together, and I've seen him at so many festivals, and I shoot him the odd text here and there. But yeah, to have him ask me to come out and do the Opry was pretty cool. Pretty full circle.
Yeah. I mean, Nick and I are both like super stoked for the FGO reunion.
Yo, dude, me too. Me too. It's coming.
Can you hit us with a yeah, baby? A T-Hub yeah, baby?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. I can't do it.
We were
Nick, give us a yeah, baby, please.
Yeah, baby. We're doing
where's the fireball at?
Yeah. We're doing a bro country night at Odie's the Sunday before CMA Fest. So it's all like FGL songs, and of course like Aldean songs, and all like the fun sing along.
That's
party
gonna be
songs.
Awesome, man!
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So you know we do like Butt Rock Night. We've done before. It's the same vein.
So that's
it's just
so
like
sick.
Everybody having a good time. I tried to get Fireball to sponsor it, and they were like, "Nah,
Fireball.
We good." I'm gonna have to get like Jack Fire or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jack Fire. Or what's the? Didn't Jim Beam have one?
Yeah, Jim Beam Fire too.
Yeah,
I think everybody did. Once Fireball got so popular, they were like, "We gotta get on this."
Barefoot Wine Fireball,
something like that.
Chardonnay with cinnamon. I don't know.
Yeah, and then speaking of touring, like you said, you've gotten to tour kind of all over the place. What are some of the venues that you've gotten to play, like around the country or even in Canada, that you know have been super cool or were meaningful to you, either crowd wise or the actual venue?
Recently we got to play Massey Hall up in Canada, which is like, I think it's considered sort of like the Ryman of Canada. A lot of legendary bands have been through there, and I've been thinking about that one for a long time. So we got to do a headline show up there and ring in the new album with people who've been supporting me since day one. So that was really, really cool and special. And I mean, we got to play the Rave in, it's Milwaukee, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That one was cool just because the lore around it, the Dahmer Hotel across the street, the pool in the basement, like that was really sweet. And obviously the Opry, the Ryman, I got to play that in 24. I feel like, I've just been everywhere.
I've been everywhere,
Yeah.
No, it's great.
Hopefully we get to play Red Rock someday. That's on the bucket list.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
It's a cool experience.
Yeah. The altitude is no joke up there, too. I remember walking in, and I was like, I'm pretty out of shape, but I'm not this out of shape.
Yeah.
Have you been out to the West Coast of like a decent chunk?
Yeah, we've been out and played. I mean, we did Stagecoach in 2024 and like a couple festivals out in California. Obviously, like Vancouver and all that, and like
I love Vancouver.
We played a festival in Montana last year. That was really cool. It was my first time in Montana, Colorado. Yeah, we just kind of, I don't know. It's hard. Like we just look at Master Tour, and it's like, all right, I guess
just
we're
show up where it's at, dude.
Show up at B&A at this time, and then we just, you know, all of a sudden there's mountains, and it's like, what the heck?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dude, congrats on the new record.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm proud of this record, man. I really am, and it's cool that it's finally out in the world, and now, you know, it's up to the fans to listen to it if they want to, and I'm kind of on to the next thing, so it's exciting.
No, dude, I think it's such a good representation of, you know, where you've come from and the next level of that. Like we said, like the production's cool and some of the stuff you guys did on vocals is super neat. And honestly, man, it sounds like Owen, which is, that's what you want.
That's the goal. Yeah. I'm glad it comes across that way. That's really cool.
It does. We're proud of you, brother.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being out here with us and sharing a little bit more of the story. And we'll have to make sure next time you're here, we have an even cooler podcast studio, or this one's cooler.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, course, great brother. Chatting with you.
Yeah, you too.
It's been fun.
Well, guys, make sure you go listen to Owen's new record.
A lot.
Yeah, as much as possible.
Buy a t-shirt.
Yeah. Catch him out on the road as well when
and
you can.
And check him out on tour.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you drop us a couple tour dates here before we get out.
Oh, man. We're doing a headline tour across Canada and the States, and I don't know any of the dates, but
you got a
we're going
to be
in.
So we'll...
Yeah, it's on the website. It's on social media. We're going to New York. I know that. We're going to Chicago. We're going to Atlanta. We're playing a show in Nashville.
Where in Nashville?
Exiton.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Love Exiton.
Yeah. And then, across Canada. So if you guys want to come to the show, come on out.
Dude, love it. If we're free for that Nashville one, I'll definitely come.
Yeah.
Also,
please do.
I'll be in Canada a lot this summer, so after the pod, we'll link up and we'll see if we're in the same city at the same time.
Yes, sir. That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be sick?
That'd be sick. Yeah. I'll show you around.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. All right, brother. Well, thanks, cool, like I said, for popping on and always making great music, man. It's a pleasure to listen to it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Cheers.
See y'all.
Love it. Is that all right?
Yeah, it was perfect.
We do it?
You did great.
Cool.
You're like smart and stuff.